Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Due diligence on Classic Business is brought to you by Deal Leaders International, leaders in mergers and acquisitions. Can South Africa avoid a wave of company collapses in the next few months? Hosting a panel at the recent conference of the South African Restructuring and Insolvency Practitioners Association, SARIPA, in Fancourt, I was really struck by how remarkable it is that we have actually emerged from the pandemic relatively well, given that one might have expected even more companies hitting the wall. We've just seen Steyr Kinekor emerge from business rescue, and some 10 years on since Business Rescue was inserted into our Companies Act, the question is, what have we learned to ensure that we can improve on rescue outcomes and have fewer companies going into liquidation, and whether we can actually avoid a wave of company collapses in the next few months? I'm joined now by Absa Corporate and Investment Bank Head of Special Asset Management, Anthony Evans, Laura Khan, partner at Weber Wenzel, and Gideon Bichetti, who's the General Manager for Claims, Collections and Bonds at the Credit Guarantee Corporation. Welcome all. Anthony, you said that perhaps the reason behind this underlying resilience could be explained by South Africa's business leaders having become used to operating under crisis conditions. Can you just elaborate on this?
If you think back to COVID, it was a really tough time. And I'm reminded of how stretched the health system was. And that was a fair picture of what it was like in corporate South Africa. Overnight, all of our clients, all of corporate South Africa, almost instantaneously needed support, advice of some kind or another. And, you know, for some clients, there were material stresses, and for other clients, there were opportunities. And, you know, we saw some major casualties. Edcon was a major casualty, Steyr Kinekor and Comair, and two out of three came through. But at the end of the day, SA corporates proved that they have the resilience and the ability to navigate that crisis, and they have that agility. And we've come through the crisis, and we've had to manage, you know, not just COVID, the riots and the floods. And when you look back from where we are today, there have been relatively few large-scale failures. So, yeah, very encouraging to see how SA corporates handled that.
And Laura, to build on that, you know, with Steyr Kinekor being one of those two out of three that has successfully emerged from business rescue, and you worked on that transaction, what stands out for you as some of the critical success factors that we can now take forward as we look to build on the first 10 years of business rescue? Because there were naysayers initially who thought that if a business is in that state, it should rather just go into liquidation. So what were the key lessons for you?
Well, of course. Well, using Steyr Kinekor as an example, as you know, it's just exited business rescue. One of the key factors was that it entered business rescue when it should have. So people are often very unfair when they look at business rescue statistics. And the question is often put to me, and I'm hoping you won't put it to me. The question is often put to me, is business rescue successful? And I'll always say, yes, it is. And then people look at me and say, but there's so many examples of failures. Answer to that is a lot of businesses that should in fact not go into business rescue at all, that should just be liquidated, enter rescue, and then those rescues fail. Steyr Kinekor was such a huge success, even though it was a really tough rescue. If you think about it, it had exactly the wrong business model for COVID lockdowns. It entered business rescue at the right time. Stakeholders all cooperated, and by stakeholders, I mean shareholders, lenders, other creditors, employees worked together. There was a really strong business rescue team, and it ended up as a success. So I would say the two key critical factors for me would firstly be, is the business capable of being rescued? Is it a business that should live on, or is it a business that should simply, to use a phrase Gideon used that's stuck in my head from SARIPA, is it a business that should just die or be killed, I think you said, or is it something that should live on? That's the first question. And if you get that right, your chances of success are much greater. And secondly, file in time. Thirdly, obviously, you need funding. And then you just need all stakeholders to cooperate.
Yeah. And we've seen with the Tonga business rescue as well that often you find creditors willing to assist post a business rescue practitioner being appointed, and provides a bit more confidence in terms of outcomes. Gideon, from your vantage point and looking at how the credit insurance market firstly reacted to COVID, you must have been expecting some really eye-wateringly large numbers. That didn't quite materialize. Did that surprise you?
Thanks, Michael, and good to the viewers. Yes, it did surprise us to the end of 2020. But to just give you some small stats, our liabilities shot up to over 5 billion. But because we had, during that time, COVID, we had sort of put in systems in our credit insurance policies, system that can buffer and give creditors time to pay. I mean, I'm still reminded during that time that at the end of April, everyone just hang on to their money. Says there were letters flying around and saying, we are not paying until we know what we're going through. And those were the prudent businessmen, as Anthony says, the corporate South Africa went through, because people didn't know what's going to happen. So we needed to find out. And during that time, cash was king. And if you didn't have cash, then, you know, as Edcon said, we had to close because the cash wasn't coming in through the door. And therefore, that was one of the issues that made us surprised at the end, because towards all the end, although we were sitting with a mountain of debt, by the end of that year, that debt had been repaid because business went back to try and make some money, and they came through it. But only the resilient businessmen that understood that they needed to preserve cash, they survived and they came through.
And looking at your current claims experience, you did say on the panel at Fancourt last week that you're starting to see some stress reemerge through the books. What are the numbers revealing?
The numbers have, Michael, have started to creep up. They are now hovering around 20 to 25%. And I was just talking to one of my colleagues in the industry. I says, let's brace ourselves, because even though we're coming on from the low, I come back from Saripa conference and I got a few surprises on my desk that wasn't there when I left for the conference. So I've been quite busy coming after the conference, running around trying to do some restructure, see how we can help some businesses. But it's starting to show the signals of a very stress that the business that don't have cash, they're struggling. The demand has gone down. Inflation is hitting into the pockets. And yes, we expected it to come, because these are your normal type of environment that really shows when they start biting, they really start eating in cash flows. Demand goes up, people preserve money, consumer demand goes down. And
it's a bellwether of where we find ourselves in terms of the economy, continued load shedding, really depressing confidence at the moment. And, you know, that big bounce back that we saw last year from COVID in the GDP numbers really starting to ebb away quite alarmingly, and to your point there. And then I want to come back to this idea of collaboration. You know, banks often lend as consortia here. You work with the credit guarantee businesses, you work with the law firms, you work with the executives. What are those lessons that we can take forward as we expect to see a rising number of businesses entering into business rescue to ensure that we have more successful outcomes and we can improve some of those stats?
Yeah, maybe before Anthony comes in, I would say two key lessons from me is, one, Lara has said, speak early. Two is, we are financiers, we are not ghosts in the dark. You can talk to us. So pick up a phone, tell us that you have a problem, and then we can solve it together. Anthony, I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about working together, and that's the whole objective of the lender consortium. It's when there is distress, we come together and work with the client to get to an optimal solution. And what we find is it creates a level playing field, it creates good access to information, and it creates fairness. And ultimately, the client benefits because they get a better solution, and hopefully it would be faster than engaging with lenders one by one. So yeah, we have seen it work very effectively in this market. And I would say most of the large-scale restructuring we've seen in SA, we've managed to do it through this way, and it's worked well for South Africa.
Given that, and what we've seen, Laura, do you think there is an increased awareness now amongst directors of companies at maybe just slightly below listed level and small and medium cap size companies that this is an option available to them? And so to pull the trigger early on that decision around whether to enter business rescue, because that seems to be the key in terms of ensuring that you can get a successful outcome.
Absolutely. I do think there's increased awareness. Business rescue has always had a bit of a bad reputation, I think unfairly so. When used correctly, the right business, the right people, absolutely your lenders behind you, it really is. And there are lots of examples of successes of late. And in fact, the large rescues that have failed, I think it failed, and I use, I don't know, Comair as an example, failed because of a list of external reasons that weren't the fault of the process or the practitioner. So I think there is an increasing realization. I mean, during COVID, we had a lot of phone calls from anxious board members of large listed or corporate companies wanting to know whether they had to file for rescue or whether they were at risk of trading recklessly and negligently. Of course, in those circumstances, it was really difficult advice to give, because the Companies Act test was singularly unhelpful. I mean, the broad level, the test says whether looking forward 6 months, you're reasonably likely to be able to pay all your debt as and when it falls due. And without crystal ball, nobody knew that in the early days of lockdown. But I suppose things are a little bit less complicated now. We're no longer under lockdown. We don't have those regulations. Liquidity projections, cash flow projections are a bit easier. So I think, yes, there's definitely an increasing realization of what a powerful tool for restructure and rescue, business rescue, is.
Particularly, Gideon, to build on that, and I was chatting to Cookie Kuhrman, an analyst at Denker Capital, about, you know, whether or not banks would be willing to go into a process like this. He reckons a whole factor of that situation and that decision making really rests on the economic outlook. And you realize that companies may be distressed due to 3 or 4 years of really tepid economic growth. But if things are looking to turn in a particular sector, that lenders would be more likely to apply some leniency in the process. Given that the economic outlook is so poor, what is your expectation for the attitudes of lenders going into what is possibly another wave of business rescues?
Michael, I would say black swans are no longer black swans as we knew them in the past. They are much more frequent than we think. Therefore, forecasting has become quite difficult. And hence I keep on saying regularly to all our client base, speak to us early when you have a problem. We have a network with the financial institutions, the bank. We can pick up a call and speak to Anthony or whoever in the banking system. If your business deserves to be protected, we will protect it. We are also in the value chain to make money, but also not recklessly. So therefore, if a business closes down, we lose revenue. Therefore, it's not in our interest to close businesses down. And I strongly advise our client base to really, really signal early. Don't say that the banks will close you down when they know. We don't do that. We have evolved from that kind of culture. Mm. We now are more in a collaborative culture because we understand that to survive, we all have to survive.
Yeah, as they say, owe a bank a million and it's your problem, owe a bank a billion, and it's the bank's problem as well. Gideon Bicetti, General Manager for Claims Collections and Bonds of the Credit Guarantee Corporation. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks to Dilara Khan, partner at Weber Wenzel, and Anthony Evans, who is Head of Special Asset Management at APSA Corporate and Investment Banking, sharing their views on business rescue in this week's Due Diligence on Classic Business, brought to you by Deal Leaders, partnering with you. For the next episode of Due Diligence, listen to Classic Business next Tuesday around 20 to 7, brought to you by Deal Leaders International.
The question should not be to sell or not to sell. Instead, the question is to sell or to grow. Deal Leaders International is a professional sell-side mergers and acquisitions advisory firm with years of experience in the trenches that can provide you with an analysis of your business and the market, so you can make the best decision on whether to exit or grow your business. Email connect@dealleadersint.com. Deal Leaders International, partnering with you.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.